Matthew chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 6. I read this week and I wanted to share this with you, especially in the day that we're living. One of the signs of the end times is they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You notice I said teachers is what the Bible says. Don't say preachers. There is a difference in teaching and preaching. I'm going to read this to you. Whoever who wrote this up. Preaching is to the heart, the inner man, the reason. Teaching is to the head, the thinking mind. Preaching is confrontational. Teaching is informational. Preaching is necessary to faith. Faith is necessary to please God. Teaching is necessary to knowledge, to learn of God. Preaching conveys the feelings, the passion of truth. Teaching conveys understanding, the facts of truth. Preaching reveals the secrets of one's soul and is undesirable and avoided. Teaching gives understanding to the mind and is desired and enjoyable. Professions born of non-confrontational teaching lack sorrow to repentance, which worketh salvation. Salvation comes of grace through faith. Faith comes through the hearing of preaching, not through teaching and reading. The warning of the last days is a famine of hearing, not reading. And how shall they hear without a preacher? I appreciate somebody writing that. I thought that was pretty informative. A lot of people nowadays don't know the difference. And if you listen to the big boys and the big preachers, it's the teaching ministry of so-and-so. They don't talk about preaching no more. It's confrontational. They don't like that. You can teach something, people will smile, but you preach it under the power of God and they get mad at it. Amen? And so I just wanted to share that with you. All right, Matthew chapter number 7, we're going to look down at verse number 24. Matthew 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Flip over, if you will, to Luke chapter number 6. We'll look down at verse number 46. Luke 6. 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercies to us. Asking you, Lord, to meet the needs in our hearts this morning. Thank you, dear God, for what you've done in the offering this morning. We've been a-praying, Lord, that you'd help us financially. Lord, bless your holy name for that. Bless those that gave to God, Lord, and help them. And those who wanted to and didn't have it, Lord, I pray bless them. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. We bless your holy name. And Lord, we're coming into the time of preaching to God. And I pray, oh God, I know I have no ability within myself to preach. But I ask you this morning to help me to preach above my ability. Give me that liberty and give me that power and that unction, that anointing that I need from heaven's world. Lord, would you pour out a horn of oil upon your servant this morning to God? Help, oh God. I'm quite aware of the fact that I have no ability within me. So help me this morning to preach above my ability. I pray that the Holy Ghost would have free reign in here this morning to God and have the liberty to move upon sinners to God and convict them of sin and put hooks of love and draw them to a place of repentance and faith. I pray, oh God, let there be conviction upon the saints to pull in closer to you. Lord, to be more aware of the fact that we need to be more obedient to you than we have been. Bless your holy name. Increase the faith of your children this morning. Strengthen the inward man to God. Help us, oh God, this morning, Lord Jesus, to preach with the authority of your word and the boldness of the Holy Ghost anointing. Give us that boldness to say what we need to say. But Lord, I pray, help us to have enough sense to keep the flesh out of the way and keep our mouth shut about what we shouldn't say. Now, Lord, we do love you with all our heart. And Lord, we love you with all our soul. And Lord, we love you with all our mind. In Jesus' sweet, loving, holy name we pray. Thy precious holy will be done, Lord. Amen and amen. And you be seated this morning. If God will be my help for a little while, I'd like to preach on this thought. What kind of foundation do you have this morning? What kind of foundation do you have? Now these passages of Scripture we just read in your hearing, they're primarily, the Lord is preaching the importance of obedience here. Notice in verse number 47 of here in Luke where we read, we find the words, cometh, heareth, and doeth. He's a saying, come to me, hear my sayings, and do my sayings, is what he's a saying. Amen. May I say unto you, come unto him as Savior. Hear him as a teacher. Obey him as master, is what he's wanting us to do today. Amen. May I say, these two builders represent two classes of people. Those who live by faith in the Son of God, and those who live in the light of their own kindling and their own light and their own ways and thinkings. Amen. Obedience to His will is the test of true faith in Christ. The test is not of words saying, Lord, Lord, and not obeying. By no means it ain't. It's easy to learn religious vocabulary. Amen. To memorize Bible verses. Amen. To sing religious songs. And yet, not obey the will of God. Amen. It's easy to conform to religion and not conform to what God wants out of us. Amen. The Spirit of God enables man to know and obey the will of God. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It's so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. Hey, when you got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost moved in, amen. And that's the Spirit of Christ, amen. It's dangerous, listen to me this morning. It's very dangerous to be satisfied with hearing and neglect the doing of the Word of God, amen, today. Obedience is the only sound evidence of true salvation, amen. And so is someone who claimed to got saved and don't obey the Word of God, won't go with the Word of God. I'll show you somebody who's going to fall because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Amen. But I say this morning, listen to me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. I'm reminded of the preacher who said what he said about picking up Brother Henley Milby that time and carrying him down the road. You've heard this as well. Well-known preacher. He made this statement. He said, as I'm going down the road, he said, and picked up Hanley Mill, he said, one of the greatest preachers in America is what he said about him. And he said, I asked him, said, well, I love Jesus, don't you, Brother Milby? And Brother Milby just said, I don't know if I do or not. Well, that preacher said, man, here I have got one of the greatest preachers in the world right here in my car going down the road. He don't even know if he loves Jesus or not. A little while, Brother Milby, and that soft, low voice, he said, I guess I need to clarify something. He said, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, I'm just thinking, have I kept them all? You think about that today, amen. It's easy to say, I love Jesus, but are you backing up with your obedience to Him, amen. Oh, I say this morning, my friend, God's Word should dominate and control every aspect of our lives, amen. Whether it's at church, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's on vacation, whether it's not at Walmart or Bible, wherever it's at, in our control, in the home, in our control of us, amen, the Word of God should. We're to make much of His Word. The hearer only is very foolish, amen. Oh, my friend this morning, he's like a person. The person who just listens and don't do. They're like a person, my friend, who is trying to take shelter from the storm under the plans of the house instead of in the house. And plans ain't going to do you much good. By the time they get wet and the wind blows, they're going to come all to pieces, amen. But I say this morning, he's like a person with one oar out in the paddle boat, paddling on one side only with that one oar, and all you're going to do is go in circles. You ain't going to go nowhere. Amen. I say this morning, if the hearing don't affect the fingers and the feet, it profits you very little in this life. Oh, it's not enough to just merely hear His Word and call Him Lord. We must obey His Word and obey Him and follow Him in our lives. Amen. He said in James 1 and 22, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you think, well, I heard a good message today, I feel pretty good. What are you doing about it? Are you putting it in practice? Amen. I don't get up and holler and carry on and study in the wee hours of the morning and such as that just to get up and say, well, I heard a pretty good message. I'm doing it, my friend, because God had had us to do it that you could take it and use it and live by it and grow thereby. Amen, this morning. Lord, I see here the wisdom of this obedient man. Matthew called him a wise man. In chapter 7, verse 24. Hear instruction, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 8 and 23, or 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. He tells us in Proverbs 10 and 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. I don't know about you, but I want to make my father glad. Amen. I want to make him glad. Talking about my heavenly, I want to make my earthly father glad, but it's more important to make the heavenly father glad than it is an earthly father. Proverbs 10 and 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. It tells us in Proverbs 14 and 35, the king's favor is toward the wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. It's wise to build upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we believe. Hey, why was he wise? Because he believed in the rock. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, it tells us there that Christ is the rock. Amen. He is the rock. You see, he had no faith in the sandy earth, sandy shifting sands of this world. He dug down to the rock. Amen. The sand shifts, it washes, it blows, it moves. But the rock is stable. I remember Dad one time, back when I was a little boy, was not just started a new church, but physically building the new church. I'm building a building. Pop, I remember the story you told, and I was just a little lad of a feller, but I remember him digging that footing, and I remember over on that one corner, you couldn't dig down because it was solid rock. Couldn't get no footing in there. Was nervous about it inspecting. The inspector, didn't he tell you, you can't have no better foundation than on that rock right there. So let him build up on that rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Brad, you're in that rock business. Amen. Got to have a foundation, don't you? Amen, brother. It won't stand if you don't. You don't go out and build rock walls on sand piles, do you? No, you build it on concrete or a rock. Amen. All concrete basically is a poured rock. Amen. It's a man-made rock, but it does pretty good. Amen. But no better foundation you have than up on the rock. Amen. And Jesus is that rock. Rock is stable. Rock's hard to move. Amen. Thank God today. Oh, but that sand will shift and it'll wash. And it'll blow around. Amen. Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, but you see, he was wise because he believed on the rock. Amen. He is wise because he spared no trouble to get to that rock. He dig deep, the Scripture says. He dig deep. Amen. Bible said in Matthew 16 and 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. I read recently somewhere where it said, if we'll empty ourselves out, God will fill us with Him. Amen. We'll deny ourselves, amen, empty ourselves out, He'll fill us with Him. Amen. Which is far better. You just sing this morning, and I appreciate what God's done. Now, for 2 or 3 months, we've been praying, and I had announced it in the last couple of weeks about the finances of the church. It looked pretty dreary. It was going down bad. Going down bad. We're just about broke. God's come back. Hallelujah. Thank God. Bless His holy name. He's probably testing our faith. Amen. Thank God today. And He's showing us. He's God. Amen. He's God. Thank God this morning. I thought this morning when I was getting my tithes prepared up, I said, well, that's the least I put in a long time. Ain't got paid. Ain't got no money. Amen. I said, no telling what the offering be. Here it is, the best it's been in many, 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 many years. Amen. Thank God. God's good, ain't He? God's good. Knows what He's doing. Amen. Thank God. But dig deep. Amen. Hey, it's no loss of time for a man to examine himself and to dig deep down and through everything until he finds the strong, mighty Christ that's revealed before him. It ain't no loss of time. Some people might think, some people don't understand building. They go by a place and they're out there grading and they're digging a hole. And they say, well, why don't they go ahead and start building that thing? You've got to get down and get a foundation first, a good foundation. There's much that lies between the sinner and the Savior. Pride and false teachings and sin and Satan, society and self. Amen. But every builder knows, listen to me, builders know if the foundation, if they put a block foundation or a rock foundation, whatever the case may be, if there's dirt between it, the blocks or the rocks, it won't stick good, will it, Brother Brad? You've got to have clean stuff to make it stick, don't you? You put it up there and it just falls over. So that dirt between us and Christ, hey, we won't be cemented together if we don't get it cleaned up. Amen. I say this morning, listen to me, every builder knows that. Let there be nothing between us and Him. To get to the rock, it might be expensive. Sometimes there's a lot of digging involved. To get to the rock, it might be toilsome, a lot of work. It might be a lot of pain and labor. But it's worth it, for it's wise and it's safe. Amen. Before a house can safely be built, the rock must be found. Amen. Today, the rock must be found. Where are you found? What's your foundation today? To get to the rock, you'll have to deny yourself. You must lay aside your pride. Lay aside your self-righteousness. Lay aside things that hinder between you and God. Amen. May I say this morning, this man was wise because he believed in the rock. He is wise because he spared no trouble to get to the rock. He is wise because he built his house upon the rock after he found it. Amen. He didn't just start building. You see, he wasn't just satisfied with finding a good foundation. He built upon that foundation. Amen. Many are satisfied, listen to me this morning, many are satisfied that they found Christ as the rock of salvation and their atonement for sin, but they never build upon it. I'm trying to encourage us this morning. We need to obey the Lord so that we can build a house upon Him. Amen. Build our house. They rest on the rock, but they never build upon the rock. To build upon the rock is to obey God, commandments and His Word. Amen. The rock's strong enough to bear all, thank God. Plenty strong enough to bear all. I have no doubt. Listen, those who build upon Christ have no doubt in the foundation. We may doubt ourselves from time to time, but we won't doubt Him. Amen. No need to doubt Him now, as the old songwriter wrote. What did he build? Well, he built a house, is what this man built. One of the most common necessities to man is a place of shelter. Amen. A hiding place from the storm. A hiding place from sin. I'm talking about spiritual, the spiritual house. It's a place of rest, a resting place that's needed in this busy, bustling, bothering times of life. We need a place to get away, and that's the Lord Jesus. Amen. We need a place of fellowship. Man needs, we'll never be fully met if we don't fellowship with God. Amen. We must have that. Not only did he, not only was he wise, because he believed upon the rock. Not only was he wise because he spared no trouble to get to the rock. Not only was he wise because he built his house upon this rock. He was wise, my friend, because he was not disappointed with the results. Amen. He was not disappointed with the results. Thank God today. Notice his sincerity and truthfulness did not prevent him from being trusted. I mean, tested from above. And beneath and all sides. The storms come. The winds blow. The rains. The floods came. The storm come. The wind blew. That tested the wall. The rain tested the roof. The flood tested the foundation. Amen. To what? We see news broadcasts and pictures in paper and stuff of houses that burn down, but you'll still see the foundation most of the time. You can see in these floods where it washed the house away, but a lot of times you still see the foundation. Amen. It will withstand the floods. It will withstand the storms and the fires if we build upon the rock, which is Christ. It stood the winds of temptation that blowed upon it. It withstood the downpours of affliction that beat upon it. It withstood the floods of persecution that pushed upon it. Amen. Every deed done for Christ, every act of trust in Him will be tried by a threefold enemy of the soul. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil will try you. If you build upon Christ, you can stand. May I say, when resting in Christ and yielding to the Holy Ghost, you can build upon this rock gold, silver, or precious stones, and it'll be there. Thank God. Amen. I say this morning, my friend, I say the house may suffer damage. It may look weather-beaten. It may look rough. It may look torn. But it won't fall. If a person's life is founded upon Christ, he's safe from the storms and judgment. Amen. He'll be safe and God will take care of him. Amen. I'll never forget down there in Greeleyville, South Carolina, back when Hugo Hip, that I went down there as a volunteer crew. That old black woman, you couldn't even, and I've told some of you this before, you couldn't see her yard. You couldn't see her propane tank outside. It looked like somebody went through there and cut all the trees down. But you know what? There was not a house, there was not a tree on the house. That little old black woman come out and she told us. I said, well, the Lord took care of you. She said, yeah, He did. Said, I laid in there in the night and I'd praise to Him and I'd sing to Him. He took care of me. Hey, hallelujah! He'll take care of you. Amen. Yeah. She had trees everywhere. We went to cutting trees and finding things that we didn't know was there. Trees are laying everywhere, but the house was unharmed and she was unharmed. Because the Lord took care of her and she was giving Him all the glory for it. Amen. Thank God this morning. He'll take care of us. Oh, we may suffer damage at times. A Christian with a possession and a good practice won't fall. If you've got a position with Christ, possession of Christ, and you're practicing what He tells you, you won't fall. I like what the old songwriter said. He said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On cross, Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad I'm founded. I'm upon the rock of Christ this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see the wisdom of this man who obeyed. But let's look for a moment at the foolishness of the disobedient man. The foolishness of the disobedient man. He disregarded the rock. He probably believed in the rock. You may ask him, you believe in the rock? Oh yeah, I believe. You believe Christ? Yeah, I believe he's Christ. I believe he's God. But you see, he thought he could get by without trusting Christ and building upon Christ. To build on the sand is to give lip service and not obey His Word. To build upon sands is to give lip service. There's a lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Lots of people say, I'm saved. But there's very few people in these days are living it. Amen. The foundation on sand is human goodness. It's human efforts. It's weakness of the flesh. The wise take God's Word and build upon it. Amen. But the foolish man, he may be familiar with the Word, but he disregards it and don't put it in practice in his life. Bible, the sayings of God are a rock, but the sayings of men are sand. You think about that. The sayings of God are the rock, but the sayings of man are sands of time. Bible tells us in Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you. You know what the word spoil means? It means to make you rotten. It means to defile you. You know. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and through vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. That's a big old word for this Rosman boy, the rudiments of this world. But it simply means elementary truths that they would tell you and not after Christ. The Bible said in Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. I want to back up and read that verse in Colossians again. I want you to listen close now. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's after, he said, as you've gotten saved. He said, walk ye in Him. He said, rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. Hey, listen. We need to be rooted in Him. We need to be grounded in Him. We need to be built upon Him. We need to walk with Him. This thing of salvation ain't just a fire escape. Get saved and walk on out midway you want to. You ought to be rooted in Him and walk with Him. If He's just saving us to take us to heaven, why didn't He just knock us in the head when He saved us and take us on? Amen. He's got a work for us to do upon this earth. Yeah. It's to live our lives to please Him. Amen. This man, he disregarded the rock, but he also commenced to build in too soon. He began to plant the stones of hope before he had found the rock of Christ. He can picture his house looking good. Picture getting that house built. Amen. He began building before he began digging. Amen. May I say, I believe it's H.A. Ironside. I believe that was his name. I can't remember. He said, we cannot live until first we possess the life. You can't live for Christ until you possess the life of Christ. Can't do it. Somebody said, I can't live it, preacher. How many of you ever heard a sinner say, I'd like to get saved, but I just can't live it? How many of you heard that before? And you know what I tell them? I said, no, you can't until the liver moves in you. You can't live for Christ alone. You have to have Him to move in you. Amen. Our Lord was talking to a people who knew the will of God but seldom did the Word of God. It's difficult to teach a people who knows everything. It's difficult to teach somebody something that knows everything. Whether you're on the job, whether it's at school, whether it's in church, wherever it's at, you can't teach someone who knows everything. They won't listen. Not only that, it's difficult to lead someone who won't follow. You can't lead someone who won't follow. Not only that, it's difficult to convince someone who all they want to do is argue. They don't want to listen. Amen. Christianity can profit us nothing as long as we cleave to our sin and our hearts and live unbelieving, unobedient lives. It can profit us very little. Talk of lips is useless if it's not accompanied by sanctification of the life. It's one thing to say you're saved, it's another thing to live your life like you are saved. This foolish man, he was wise in one area. He's wise enough to know that he needed a shelter. You ever talk to someone about the Lord and say, yeah, I need to change my ways. I need to do that, but they won't do nothing about it. Die and go to hell. It's pitiful. Pitiful. And most people you talk to, they're, oh yeah, I need that, but they won't do nothing about it. It's just sad to see that, amen. He's wise enough to build the shelter, but he was foolish enough to believe that he could make it on his own without getting to the rock. Amen. Hell's full of good intentions, someone said. You see, he had a good intention to build a shelter, but he went about it in the wrong way. He built without a foundation. He built a house upon this earth. He has no faith in what he can't see. You see, you don't see that foundation much. It's under that house. You don't see somebody going out and looking at the house, say, boy, that's a beautiful foundation. Oh, look how gorgeous that footing is. Oh, no. They say, how beautiful that house is. Just to show. That's the way a lot of people are today. Just to show. They don't have no foundation on them. You see, Isaiah 28:16 said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That word shall not make haste, it simply means that it won't hasten off to some other belief, but stick with Jesus is what it's talking about. See, notice the difference in these two houses. It wasn't the plans. They could have been similar houses. I don't know. They may have been in close proximity to one because it talks about the storm. Evidently, it's in the same path of the storm. They could have been close to one another. It wasn't the plans. It wasn't the materials. It probably wasn't the position. It was the foundation that was different. Looking on the finished house, you probably couldn't have told much difference in them. But boy, when the rains come and the wind blow and the floods rose, you've seen the difference in them. The one on the sand looked good for a little while. But after a while, it blew away and washed away. To the ignorant eye, listen to me, to the ignorant eye, there's no detection between what's true and false foundation. There's no difference in the true and false salvation of an individual to those who don't know the difference. See, the Bible talks about spirit bearing witness. You ever been around someone who claims to be saved and you heard and see things out of them and it didn't bear witness? Most likely they was not saved. Amen. You may go to church with some. They may profess to believe the same things. They just have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Perhaps you love to hear the gospel. Maybe you approve of its doctrines. Maybe you believe that Christ is the truth. You believe in the Holy Ghost. You believe in justification, sanctification, repentance, faith, holiness, and Bible, and prayer. But without building up on the rock, it ain't going to do you a whole lot of good. You see, this foolish man, his hopes were suddenly cut off. Here comes the storm. Boy, you've seen the footage of Louisiana and what's happened down there. Flooding and washing. And so up in West Virginia, in these places where they had all this and how it tore up. Amen. Verse 49, it said, it fell and the ruin of that house was great. Matthew 7:27 said, and great was the fall of it. Why? Because it was not built upon the foundation. House looked like a strong house, but it wasn't a strong house. Not everyone who professes to know the Lord has real salvation. It's not what you profess, it's what you possess that counts. Amen. These two builders had some things in common. Both had a desire to build a house. Both houses looked good. Both houses looked strong. But when judgment came, one failed because it wasn't founded upon the rock. Our nation, listen to me, our nation's facing judgment today. I got a little old thing, and I'll just read it to you. I'm going to read you something right now. I'm not being political or nothing like that. If I've got it with me, I want to read you something. talking about our nation. A friend of mine gave me this the other day, and I want you to listen to this. Based on Saul Alinsky's 8 steps from democracy to social society. It says Obama quoted him often in his book, and Hillary did her thesis on Alinsky. It says, of the 8 levels of control that must be attained before you're able to create a socialist communist state, the first is the most important. 6 of 8 are done, and the last 2 are almost there in our country. I want you to listen to this. This is the 8 steps they say that must happen in order to turn a democracy to a socialist state. Health care control. You control the health care of the people, and you control the people. Poverty, increase in poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if the government is providing them everything they need to live. Debt. Increase the national debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state. Total local control. Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Food, livestock, housing, income. Education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. Religion. Removal of faith in God from the government and schools. Is this sounding like America? Class warfare. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is the big headline now. Divide the people into wealthy against the poor. Racially divide. This will cause more discontentment, and it'll be easier to tax wealthy with full support of the voting poor. That's where we're at. 6 of these are done. Gun control's almost here. And this is about to remove the religion altogether, too. You think about that. Ain't that pitiful? And our nation ain't got enough sense to see what's going on. Be careful. I'm not politicking for no individual. Be careful when you go to the polls this fall and think about what's going on and see what's going on. And I know we ain't got much. I like what Brother Milby said. The bad thing about this election is somebody's going to win. That's pitiful, but it's true. But I said all that to say this. We're in a nation that one time we thought we built upon a rock, but we have the winds has blown so long. And the rains has fell so long. The winds of liberalism. I read in another place where one thing you do with the young people is you get them into pleasure and sports and illicit sex and all that, and that's one of the downfalls of nations. Just on and on and on. What we're seeing in the headlines and what we're seeing, and I'm talking about boldly getting in front of our nation and harking on how they want to change us and just about have done it. I've said it before when I was a boy in school. They said America will be taken over by socialism without firing a shot. And it's just about done it today. This house that we're preaching about this morning. This man built his house on the sand. He was satisfied. He was sincere. And I don't know a better word but say he was stupid by doing so. You see, it once stood, but then it fell. The one on the rock stood. The one on the sand fell. Amen. His life or the house may have been right, beautiful looking in the sight of others, yet had no connection to the rock, had no connection to Christ. It fell in the time of his greatest need in the storm. The house fell. Folks, we're headed to storms in this old world. We're headed to storms in our faith. And if we're not built upon the rock, we're not going to stand for Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Ground upon the political left is sinking sand. Ground upon the political right is sinking sand. But ground upon Christ is stable, stout. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What kind of foundation do you have, church? What kind of foundation do you have, individuals? Is it founded upon the rock, on Christ? Brother Dan, you and choir come, if you will. Give us an invitational hymn this morning, if you will. I believe I've preached what God would have us to preach this morning. Prayed about it and tried to seek God's face about it. And I don't know exactly why, but someone needed it, evidently. How's it between you and the Lord this morning? Are you saved by the grace of God? If you're saved, are you building upon that rock? Gold and silver and precious stones. If you're building upon the sand, you're building with wood, hay, and stubble. And when the floods come and when the flames come, it'll be destroyed, my friend. Everybody stand.
Church hymn, 370.